A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Stronger Minds with me, Kimberly Wilson. I'm a chartered practitioner, psychologist, and author with a master's degree in nutrition. So I talk about psychology, mental health, food, and everything in between. The aim is that you leave this short podcast informed and in possession of some helpful practical tips to support your well-being. Today, I want to talk to you about Ozempic, or more specifically, the GLP-1 receptor agonist medications that have, far beyond their original medical use, taken the dieting and weight loss world like an absolute hurricane. I will give a brief outline of their targets and actions, but really I want to talk about the psychology of these drugs and to speculate on what they might mean for how we relate to weight loss and bodies of different sizes in the future. There are a number of different products on the market and more in development. There's semaglutide, known by the brand names Ozempic and Wegovy from Novo Nordisk, survodutide from Boehringer Ingelheim, tirzepatide and retatrutide from Eli Lilly, and more. In this podcast, I will use GLP-1s to refer to this whole class of medications. So let's start with a definition, but first, a tiny bit of appetite science. Eating is an extraordinarily complex behaviour, which is controlled and influenced by factors both inside and outside the brain and body. Appetite, the desire to eat, is controlled by several hormones that A, tell you you are hungry, and B, after eating, that you've had enough. And those are two different processes. One of these appetite hormones is called glucagon-like peptide 1, or GLP-1, that naturally is produced in the gut and the brain after you eat. It binds to receptors throughout the body and has a number of different effects. It binds with receptors in the pancreas to stimulate the release of insulin to reduce the amount of glucose in the blood. It can also help to protect and regrow those insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. In the stomach, it slows down the rate at which food moves through and leaves the stomach, which is called gastric emptying. In the brain, it binds to receptors in the hypothalamus and creates a feeling of satiety. However, the natural form breaks down very quickly in the body. It has a half-life of about 2 minutes. So the synthetic forms, for example, semaglutide, are slightly modified so that it hangs around in the body for longer. And the synthetic form has been used for about 20 years to treat type 2 diabetes. What happened is that patients started to note weight loss as a side effect of taking the medication, and that prompted interest in specific use for weight loss, though the products designed for weight loss use a higher dose than the prescriptions for diabetes. In terms of efficacy for weight loss, in the randomized placebo-controlled clinical trials, participants lost on average 15% of body weight after 68 weeks of weekly injections, as well as seeing improvements in blood pressure, blood glucose, and cholesterol. Common side effects include nausea, constipation, diarrhea, chills and cold skin, and many more. Less commonly, people can experience heartburn and abdominal pain, alopecia, diabetic retinopathy in patients with type 2 diabetes, dizziness, and headache. Animal studies show that it is toxic during pregnancy, and it is also present in breast milk, so the manufacturer advises against use during preconception, pregnancy, and breastfeeding. Women of childbearing age taking the medication are advised to use a reliable contraceptive. There are also warnings against use by those with multiple endocrine neoplasia type 2, which are tumours in your glands, or a personal or family history of medullary thyroid cancer. And special consideration must be taken in those with a history of intestinal, pancreatic, or kidney disease. Okay, that is a very brief look at the drug, its actions, and common physical side effects. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, I'll get into the psychology of these drugs.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If some of those adverts were a bit random, that's because they were automatically generated. So I have absolutely no idea what they were for. You'll get a different one depending on where you are in the world. If you would prefer an ad-free listening experience, or you simply enjoy the podcast, you find it personally valuable, you've had your questions answered, perhaps you're someone who's used my resources with your own clients or in the classroom, please consider becoming a patron. It's the price of a hot chocolate once a month, and it allows me to sustain the podcast. But if that's not accessible for you, you can always listen to the free feed, which is the one you're listening to right now. And it's exactly the same content. For Patreon, it's patreon.com/Kimberly Wilson, and that's Kimberly with an L-E-Y. And on that note, I would like to thank the new patrons, Sean and Dave. Thank you very much for your support. Now, back to the podcast. I've briefly overviewed some of the physical side effects of semaglutide and GLP-1s, but what about the psychological? Now, I want to think about this in relation to both individual and social psychology. First up, the psychological side effects. Listed common side effects include anxiety and nervousness, confusion, depression, nightmares, suicidal ideation, and attempts. In the clinical trials, though, depression was one of the exclusion criteria, which means that a person with a diagnosis of depression was not allowed to take part. Though there are now a few case studies of depression emerging a month after starting the drugs and being relieved when the patient came off them. Now, of course, depression and anxiety are common mental health conditions in the general population. And in addition, diabetes and having a higher body weight are associated with increased depression risk. So it's not clear at this stage what the impact will be for people with depression who start these medications, but it's something that prescribers should really be aware of. And I will also be keeping an eye on future research looking into these interactions. Interestingly, a recent retrospective study, so not an RCT, indicated that GLP-1s are associated with lower depression incidence. The researchers were unable to infer causality from this study design. It could be something to do with the drug, or it could be that as the participants lost weight, the world was kinder to them and they experienced more hopefulness. Which brings me to one of the broader social psychological considerations of this class of medication. Because though there is still much to do, We have come some way in our understanding of the physical and psychological harms of weight stigma, and working towards creating a social environment where people in larger bodies can see themselves reflected positively and neutrally in the world, such as sports brands using plus-size mannequins in their displays and TV advertisements depicting a more diverse range of body sizes. But with the arrival of GLP-1s, I do wonder how long this will hold, because there will be some people who can't take these drugs, whether that's because they're on other incompatible medications, it's contraindicated for a condition that they have or that runs in their family, or because they can't tolerate the side effects. And there will be people who simply don't want to. GLP-1s reduce the palatability of food, and some may not want to live like that. And some people will simply be happy in their bodies. But I wonder and worry that as these drugs become more ubiquitous, affordable, and safer, there could be an intensifying of the backlash against body positivity and fatness. That the people now who say, just move more and eat less, will start saying, just take the drugs. If attaining and maintaining a lean physique is presented as something as simple, in inverted commas, as taking a pill or a weekly injection, will some people experience more pressure to lose weight from both the public and healthcare professionals? Will it be easier or harder for fat people to exist in a world where being slim is regarded as easy? Will it be more or less acceptable for someone to say, this is my body and I enjoy it as it is? I don't crave being slim. I don't aspire to thinness. On the flip side, some people who have been open about taking GLP-1s have been criticized for taking the easy way out, again, very much in inverted commas, because the kudos of slimness is not just about the physique, but the willpower and apparent self-discipline required to attain and sustain it. Now, within these criticisms is, I suspect, a belief that fat people should suffer for the moral failure of fatness. Because saying that GLP-1s are a cop-out is a restating of the belief that fatness is a manifestation of laziness or a lack of willpower. It's simply weight stigma repackaged. So many people may feel that they're damned if they do, and damned if they don't. I also think that there's a risk that these become drugs of abuse, not in terms of being addictive, but that some people will feel incentivized to excessively suppress their hunger in order to maintain an unnaturally and unhealthily low body weight. We could see a return of the ultra-thin, so-called heroin chic aesthetic of the early 90s, which, as someone who lived through it, I wouldn't wish on another unsuspecting generation. And more broadly, do we perpetuate the idea that having an appetite is a problem? Have we thought about how we make it clear to children and young people that appetites per se aren't a problem, that it's not wrong or bad to be hungry? Speaking of which, Novo Nordisk, the makers of Ozempic and Wegovy, who have single-handedly bolstered the Danish economy, are already recruiting for a study of semaglutide in children aged 6 to 18 to be administered by weekly injection. And in terms of brain health, I'm worried too, because we need to remember that food is not just a vehicle for calories, it's also about nutrition. Much of the neurophysiology of hunger functions to motivate us to A, consume enough energy to fuel our hungry brains, the single largest contributor to basal metabolic rate, and B, to consume a variety of foods to provide the broad array of nutrients required to support a healthy brain and body. Now, this tendency is hijacked by the modern food environment, but the tendency itself is not faulty. As I describe in my book Unprocessed, in the UK and US, the average adult's diet falls short on a number of key nutrients that are important for supporting brain health. This is due to our growing reliance on highly industrialized diets that, by definition, are lower in these nutrients compared to whole or minimally processed foods. So, presuming that starting these medications is not associated with a shift in dietary pattern, what happens to our collective brain health when people are subsisting on smaller quantities of the same nutritionally poor foods. I imagine, if these drugs become as widely used as expected, that there will be a new class of vitamin-enriched food products or meal replacements designed for people who are taking these medications. In fact, that would be a very clever pivot for UPF food manufacturers. And all of this is before we consider the social implications of widespread use of appetite-suppressing drugs, because food and feasting are essential to human relationships, social and cultural customs. If the argument is going to be made that individual body weight is a public health concern, then governments need to work to reduce health inequality across the board, including safe and secure housing, access to green space and an NHS dentist, mental health support, wages and benefits that rise in line with the cost of living, and so on. Because health is more than body weight, and so much of our health is socially determined. I suspect if these drugs become widely prescribed, they will complicate and contaminate the discourse on body sovereignty, that people will be told that they owe it to the health service to lose weight, and why not if it's so easy? But we'll have to wait and see. And you can certainly tell me what you think in the comments underneath the Instagram post for this episode, which I will post in the show notes. Ultimately, more of us need to get on board with the idea that other people's bodies are none of our business. And that's difficult because we're raised on a diet of body monitoring and commentary, but we can make it a practice. So the next time you notice yourself making a comment in your own mind about someone else's body, just gently follow that comment with, "But that's none of my business." Okay, that's all I have for you today. If you like me in your ears, you might enjoy me in your inbox. You can sign up for my weekly newsletter where I tackle a different mental health theme every month. Things like the psychology of taste and flavor, love, stress, money, that kind of thing. You can sign up in the link in the episode description. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider either sharing it or leaving a positive review. It really helps. That just leaves me to thank you very much for listening, and until next time, take very good care.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.